Charlton, but we're catching up now with Richard Kite. He is project lead for Thriving Southland. Richard, great to catch up once again.
Yeah, good to talk, Andy. Yeah, good to catch up.
Yeah, how have things been lately?
Well, actually, been pretty busy. The catchment group team have been really busy. The catchment groups are all getting into projects, and some of them are getting to the pointy end of projects. And there's a lot happening on the ground, which is good to see.
Must be fascinating in the catchment groups when you say they get into the pointy end to actually see what they've been doing over the last amount of time actually coming into fruition.
It is. So we've been going just coming up to 3 years in June, and some of the projects that they started is probably two years ago. They're starting to see the outputs of that and the results, and it's a lot. They put a lot of hard work in. The hard work's the farmers and the catchment groups. They're the ones that do the hard yards. Yeah.
Now, beyond regulation field days on the horizon, Richard, tell us about it.
So beyond regulation, that's a piece of work we've been doing with throughout the Matara catchment, and working with different catchment groups and with specific farmers around case studies. And it's a piece of work that's really resonated with groups and farmers, and it's looking at your landscape from understanding your soils and understanding how they affect outcomes in the nutrient loss space. But it's the real focus is on looking for opportunities within all of that. So when you understand that information, you understand your place, your catchment, down to that sort of paddock scale level, you can start saying, well, how do I work with my farm system? What changes could I make? What opportunities are there? And the real focus on, making sure that it's financially robust. I think that's something that, a lot of projects miss, and it's really important, certainly when you look at farmers' age and stage and the goals and what they're looking to achieve. It's really important that when we make change, we know we're, it's financially robust and there's confidence around it. And we've had one field day, which is around a dairy platform, and this second one is around beef and sheep property, 750 hectares, and with a lot of landscape variability in it. So there's a lot of opportunity within that to create mitigations without actually breaking the bank. In fact, it's actually maybe positive in some space as well. So I think it shows a pathway forward, and that's what farmers, certainly with the first case study, that's what the feedback was, Andy, from farmers, that actually, this is actually doable. There's a pathway forward, and it's actually making a difference. It's not just a piece of policy coming along the top, across the top. It's actually working with what we've got and making an actual difference.
It seems to be a common theme with Thriving Southland, and it's a great one as well, understanding what's under your feet when you're on your property.
Oh, and the interesting stuff is the work Land and Water Science do, it's always ground truth by farmers. So farmers intuitively know a lot of this stuff, but it's saying, well, yeah, no, you're right. And on this area is an area that you could actually retire. And quite often they'll say, oh, we're already thinking about that. We've been fighting it for the last 30 years. It's quite intuitive. And that's the work we do. It's actually driven by farmers, driven by catchment groups. So it actually, people don't waste time with stuff that doesn't relate to what they're doing. So it's good to see. As I say, there's a lot of interest in this work. Yeah.
Now, the speakers you've got on the 9th of May for the field day you're holding there out at the Crooks property at Wendon site, quite an array of speakers.
Yeah, we do. So we've got speakers looking at farm system. Lyndon Preble's looking at the sheep and beef system. There's Clint Rissman, so he's looking at the landscape. Don Fregley, and that's looking at their opportunities around planting. Might be in those areas that aren't as highly productive from an animal's perspective, but from a nutrient management perspective, they may be very productive. So, it's bringing all that together, so it's actually looking all the layers and saying, what are the opportunities here and what could you do? You know, what are the farmers looking at doing, you know, in the next few years? What's the pathway for them? And then blank piece of paper, if you had a blank piece of paper, what would you do? And a blank,
So if somebody wants to go along to this field day, Richard, got to go and register, obviously?
You know, you can just roll up. Wendenside Hall, 1:30 on the 9th of May. So we're 1:30 to 4, and then we'll be heading out onto the property to have a look at some of the thinking behind it and some of the soil types, et cetera, and where opportunities might be. And then we're finishing with a barbecue back at the hall.
Just finally, Richard, as far as the catchment group movement goes here in the south, are there more catchment groups on the horizon?
I think we're just about hit the limit.
At the peak, yeah.
Yeah, we've got 35. We're probably 90% of productive areas got catchment groups on it, and they're all various ages and stages. And I think that's what, you know, it's good to accept. This is a long-term view of where, you know, the catchment groups, I believe, will be around for a long time. And, as I say, it's a marathon, not a sprint. So, we work with groups where they are, and every now and again they get a new breath of wind, and away they go again. So, yeah, there's 35 up and running, and probably 27 to 30 that are really into it at the moment. So it's great to see. Yeah.
Richard Kite, always great to chat on the muster. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, all good. Thanks, Andy. Good to talk.